He did it almost instantly in his mind, convinced himself against the best evidence of gravity, until he reached an empty seat. He found himself gripping the seat tightly, even though gravity pulled him firmly against it. The other boys were bouncing on their seats a little, poking and pushing, shouting. Ender carefully found the straps, figured out how they fit together to hold him at crotch, waist, and shoulders. He imagined the ship dangling upside down on the undersurface of the Earth, the giant fingers of gravity holding them firmly in place. "But we will slip away," he thought. "We are going to fall off this planet." He did not know its significance at the time. Later, though, he would remember that it was even before he left Earth that he first thought of it as a planet like any other, not particularly his own.
"Ah, already figured it out," said Graf. He was standing on the ladder.
"Coming with us?" Ender asked.
"Well, I don't usually come down for recruiting," Graf said. "I'm kind of in charge there, administrator of the school, like a principal. They told me I had to come back or I'd lose my job," he smiled.
Ender smiled back. He felt comfortable with Graf. Graf was good, and he was principal of the battle school. Ender relaxed a little. He would have a friend there. Adults helped the other boys belt themselves in place, those who hadn't done as Ender did. Then they waited for an hour while a TV at the front of the shuttle introduced them to shuttle flight, the history of spaceflight, and their possible future with the great starships of the IF. Very boring stuff. Ender had seen such films before, except that he had not been belted into a seat inside the shuttle, hanging upside down from the belly of Earth. The launch wasn't bad, a little scary. Some jolting, a few moments of panic that this might be the first failed launch since the early days of the shuttle. The movies hadn't made it plain how much violence you could experience lying on your back in a soft chair. Then it was over, and he really was hanging by the straps, no gravity anywhere. But because he had already reoriented himself, he was not surprised when Graf came up the ladder backward as if he were climbing down to the front of the shuttle. Nor did it bother him when Graf hooked his feet under a rung and pushed off with his hands so that suddenly he swung upright as if this were an ordinary airplane. The reorientations were too much for some. One boy gagged. Ender understood then why they had been forbidden to eat anything for 20 hours before the launch. Vomiting in null gravity wouldn't be fun. But for Ender, Graf's gravity game was fun, and he carried it further, imagining that Graf was actually hanging upside down from the center aisle and then picturing him sticking straight out from a side wall. Gravity could go any which way, however I want it to go. I can make Graf stand on his head and he doesn't even know it.
"What do you think is so funny, Wigan?"
Graf's voice was sharp and angry.
What did I do wrong? Thought Ender. Did I laugh out loud?
"I asked you a question, soldier," barked Graf.
Oh, yes. This is the beginning of the training routine. Ender had seen some military shows on TV, and they always shouted a lot at the beginning of training before the soldiers and the officer became good friends.
"Yes, sir," Ender said. "Well, answer it, then."
"I thought of you hanging upside down by your feet. I thought it was funny."
It sounded stupid now, with Graf looking at him coldly.
"To you, I suppose, it is funny. Is it funny to anybody else here?"
Murmurs of no.
"Well, why isn't it?"
Graf looked at them all with contempt.
"Scumbrains, that's what we've got in this launch. Pinheaded little morons. Only one of you had the brains to realize that in null gravity directions are whatever you conceive them to be. Do you understand that, Shafts?"
The boy nodded.
"No, you didn't. Of course you didn't. Not only stupid, but a liar, too. There's only one boy on this launch with any brains at all, and that's Ender Wigan. Take a good look at him, little boys. He's going to be a commander when you're still in diapers up there, because he knows how to think in null gravity, and you just want to throw up."
Now, this wasn't the way the show was supposed to go. Graf was supposed to pick on him, not set him up as the best. They were supposed to be against each other at first so they could become friends later.
"Most of you are going to ice out. Get used to that, little boys. Most of you are going to end up in combat school because you don't have the brains to handle deep space piloting. Most of you aren't worth the price of bringing you up here to battle school because you don't have what it takes. Some of you might make it. Some of you might be worth something to humanity. But don't bet on it. I'm betting on only one. Suddenly, Graf did a backflip and caught the ladder with his hands, then swung his feet away from the ladder. Doing a handstand if the floor was down, dangling by his hands if the floor was up, hand over hand he swung himself back along the aisle to his seat.
"Looks like you've got it made here," whispered the boy next to him.
Ender shook his head.
"Oh, won't even talk to me," the boy said.
"I didn't ask him to say that stuff," Ender whispered. He felt a sharp pain on the top of his head. Then again, some giggles from behind him. The boy in the next seat back must have unfastened his straps. Again, a blow to the head.
"Go away," Ender thought. "I didn't do anything to you."
Again, a blow to the head. Laughter from the boys. Didn't Graf see this? Wasn't he going to stop it? Another blow, harder. It really hurt. Where was Graf? Then it became clear. Graf had deliberately caused it. It was worse than the abuse in the shows. When the sergeant picked on you, the others liked you better, but when the officer prefers you, the others hate you.
"Hey, fart eater,"
came the whisper from behind him. He was hit on the head again.
"You like this? Hey, super brain, is this fun?"
Another blow, this one so hard that Ender cried out softly with the pain. If Graf was setting him up, there'd be no help unless he helped himself. He waited until he thought another blow was about to come. Now, he thought, and yes, the blow was there. It hurt, but Ender was already trying to sense the coming of the next blow. Now, and yes, right on time. "I've got you," Ender thought. Just as the next blow was coming, Ender reached up with both hands, snatched the boy by the wrist, and then pulled down on the arm hard. In gravity, the boy would have been jammed against Ender's seat back, hurting his chest. In null gravity, however, he flipped over the seat completely, up toward the ceiling. Ender wasn't expecting it. He hadn't realized how null gravity magnified the effects of even a child's movements. The boy sailed through the air, bouncing against the ceiling, then down against another boy in his seat, then out into the aisle, his arms flailing until he screamed as his body slammed into the bulkhead at the front of the compartment, his left arm twisted under him. It took only seconds. Graf was already there, snatching the boy out of the air. Deftly, he propelled him down the aisle toward the other man. "Left arm broken, I think," he said. In moments, the boy had been given a drug and lay quietly in the air as the officer ballooned the splint around his arm. Ender felt sick. He had only meant to catch the boy's arm. No, he had meant to hurt him, and had pulled with all his strength. He hadn't meant it to be so public, but the boy was feeling exactly the pain Ender had meant him to feel. Null gravity had betrayed him, that was all. "I am Peter. I'm just like him." And Ender hated himself. Graf stayed at the front of the cabin. "What are you, slow learners? In your feeble little minds, haven't you picked up one little fact? You were brought here to be soldiers. In your old schools, in your old families, maybe you were the big shot. Maybe you were tough. Maybe you were smart. But we chose the best of the best, and that's the only kind of kid you're going to meet now. And when I tell you Ender Wiggin is the best in this launch, take the hint, my little dorklings. Don't mess with him. Little boys have died in battle school before. Do I make myself clear?" There was silence the rest of the launch. The boy sitting next to Ender was scrupulously careful not to touch him. "I am not a killer," Ender said to himself over and over. "I am not Peter. No matter what Graf says, I'm not. I was defending myself. I bore it a long time. I was patient. I'm not what he said." A voice over the speaker told them they were approaching the school. It took 20 minutes to decelerate and dock. Ender lagged behind the others. They were not unwilling to let him be the last to leave the shuttle, climbing upward in the direction that had been down when they embarked.
Graf was waiting at the end of the narrow tube that led from the shuttle into the heart of the battle school.